Well, we can get on to our topic here for this morning, and it's something that I think probably makes a lot of home cooks uneasy, and that's cooking seafood. Now, you've, of course, heard that it would be a good thing if we ate more seafood. At the same time, there are a lot of concerns that have been raised, the potential that there might be contaminants in the fish. There are environmental concerns, and our choices do indeed matter. And then on top of all of that, there is the matter of just doing a good job cooking the fish so that it comes out tasty and appealing for yourself and your family. We'll see how many of these things we can address in this first hour of the show as we talk with Rick Moonen. He is quite well known as a chef and also a very early advocate of sustainability when it comes to seafood. He is the chef owner of RM Seafood in Las Vegas. He earned 3 stars from the New York Times for his previous restaurants, RM Seafood Oceana and Molivos in New York. He's also a member of the board of the French Culinary Institute. He's a founding member of the Seafood Choices Alliance, and he is the co-author of a really nice new cookbook that's titled Fish Without a Doubt, and it's published by Houghton Mifflin. More than 250 recipes that are easy to do. You don't have to be a professional to do them, and address some of the concerns that we've talked about. So as we talk, questions are welcome, just as always. No one's going to expect you to make a pledge. That'd be really nice, but you don't have to if you want to call in. The number's here for the show, same as always, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. At any point here, you want to call us, you're certainly welcome to do that. Well, Mr. Moonen, hello.
Hey, David, how are you today?
I'm very good. Thanks very much. And yourself?
I'm fantastic.
Well, we appreciate you giving us your time. And I'll tell you, you know, here on the program, we're lucky that publishers send us books for our consideration, hoping that we'll have the authors on. And when I saw this book, I said, that's coming home with me. That's coming to my house. Because I like working with fish, but again, sometimes I just feel a little bit unsure about how to do it. And, you know, people do have questions about getting it done right and not overdoing and not underdoing. And each fish, you know, different fish there are a little different.
It's these very trepidations, David, that really is what I set out when 4 years ago when I started to write and work with Roy Finnemore, my co-author, on this book. It's exactly what I wanted to tackle. There was a lot of fears, a lot of concerns, you know. Everyone understands the benefits of consuming good quality fish. The omega-3 fatty acids, they're good for your brain, the brain food. When I was growing up, that's what I was told, eat your fish, it's brain food. You know, but it's proven that it's very good for your heart, it's good for your body, it's good for your family. But holy smokes, as I talked to so many people, they had so many concerns about, oh my goodness, I don't know how to pick out good fish, how do I know when it's cooked? What if it's going to smell and make my kitchen smell fishy? You know, I never heard anybody talk about their kitchen smelling beefy, but you know, there's like a fishy concern, and then that's exactly what I worked on as I went through putting together the recipes for Fish Without a Doubt. Roy and I, in a tiny little apartment in New York City, with a small stove, 4-burner, regular oven, regular pots and pans, not a multi-million-dollar chefy kitchen. We just went after purchasing fish in a local fish store or just like Whole Foods or whatever supermarket we could go to and bring home what we found that very day, and we created recipes from them.
I think that another thing here I think that is really good, and it's important, we certainly on this program we've talked on and off about the conditions of the ocean, the problem with overfishing, and in fact just recently on the program we were talking with a Canadian writer who wrote a book, and maybe you're familiar with this book, the title of the book is Bottom Feeder. And it addresses these kinds of concerns, and one of the things that he says in the book is that there are some fish, and you write about this in your book too, that really we're recommending that you'd stay away from because of overfishing. And then there are also some fish that are recommended, particularly the smaller fish, the schooling fish, and those could be things like, well, you've got them here, anchovies or mackerel or sardines. Also, he recommended calamari, squid, which a lot of people would say they'd never had or never cooked. And I think here even these are going to be the fish that people are even less familiar with and say, well, what do I do with a sardine? What do I do with mackerel? Or, you know, maybe I could even get some good squid. I have no idea what to do with that.
Fish, without a doubt, is a great counterpoint to bottom feeder. As a matter of fact, Taras is the name of the author, I believe, right?
Yep, yep.
He did a tremendous job putting that book together. Basically, his position is exactly my position as far as the environment. Eating lower on the food chain is what we need to do now. And eat smaller fish if you're concerned about contaminants, because those are the fish that have, you know, not had the opportunity to have higher concentrations built up in their bodies. I mean, we are the ones. We're to blame for the methylmercury being in the ocean in the first place. So it's our responsibility, in my opinion, to do something about it. So let's eat some diversity. Let's eat some diversity, because mostly there's three fish or categories out of the ocean that we are just so fixated on. It's tuna, salmon, and shrimp. Mm-hmm. The three top-selling fish in all restaurants throughout the United States for many, many years. I'm trying to get people to feel a little bit more comfortable about stepping outside that comfort zone and looking into what else there could possibly be. And I understand, you know, if you have a cookbook that says, okay, here's a great chicken recipe, you know you can leave your house, you can get in your car, you can go to your local store, and guess what? You're darn sure you're going to find a chicken in there. Well, if you look in Fish Without a Doubt, you know, ooh, this halibut recipe sounds great. I can't wait. I got to go make it. And you go to the store, ooh, no halibut. Well, what I try to do is tell everyone it's okay. Accept substitutes, please. Go there. Talk to the person behind the counter. Ask them what they have today. What's fresh? What's good? You're going to set up a relationship, hopefully. Eventually, you will be able to just, with comfort, with confidence, you can cook fish at home without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, give me a recipe, and maybe, as you say, what people are used to, the kind of fish that they've done, they know how to at least grill a tuna steak or salmon, or maybe they've had cod, which is deep fried, or maybe they've had some of these other fish that have been very popular, things like snappers and orange roughy that are really in trouble, mm-hmm. and monkfish that was made famous by the great Julia Chuck. Those sorts of things. So it's something off of your list of the best fish to eat, and maybe something that you would pick that a lot of people would say, I've never eaten that. Give us a
All right. Well, there's different aquaculture. All of these topics have serious discussions around them. Mm-hmm. But aquaculture, farm-raised fish, you know, can be quite delicious. And if it's raised in an environmentally friendly way, and some of them are and some of them are not, the ones that are mostly in the green area, as we say, in the environmental world, you know, the ones that are the best for the environment, you know, please purchase these, because there's no real detrimental issues around them. They're not overfished. They're not even carnivores, like, for instance, like a tilapia or catfish, for instance. Now, I myself did not work a lot with catfish or tilapia prior to tackling Fish Without a Doubt. And then when I started to purchase them and started to work with them, I was really pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you. You know, they're fish that have a very good shelf life. You don't have to take other fish out of the natural environment in order to create pellets to feed them in the farming environment. So there's no imbalance of some fish. Now, for instance, I know I'm going off on a separate topic. I'll get back to the recipe, I promise you, David.
Oh, that's fine.
But some fish, for instance, farm-raised Atlantic salmon, they're not the greatest choice for the environment. One of the reasons is that you have to take natural protein from the ocean, sardines and anchovies, let's just say as an example, to create the pellets to feed them. And it can take 3, 4, 5 pounds of anchovies to create 1 pound of salmon. Not a very efficient formula for the ecosystem. So I would like to choose something perhaps like a tilapia or catfish. What I was just doing recently was a catfish burger, right? like a real simple catfish burger. What it's bound together with is shrimp. You take a little bit of shrimp, you put it in a processor with some ginger, a little bit of a soy sauce, a little garlic, and some fish sauce. And the fish sauce adds the saltiness. You puree that, then you fold into that some cilantro, some scallions, and some diced catfish. And you saute that. You'd be surprised how fantastic it is and you know, how simple it is.
And I think, you know, one of the things that really strikes me in looking at the book and a lot of these recipes is just not, you know, I'm sure people won't say this is any big surprise, but just how well Asian flavors and treatments go with seafood, and that if people have maybe they've, you know, done things with soy and ginger and citrus, all those things are very wonderful and love each other very much and do nice things with fish. And more, I think, though, people are branching out and experiencing some Southeast Asian tastes. Maybe more and more people have experienced Thai approaches and the kind of ingredients that they like. All of these things, maybe you think of Mediterranean kind of treatments for seafood, and That's great.
Well, there's
too
a little bit of all of these. I mean, there's even Italian. I'm a big fan of the fennel and orange combination when it comes to seafood, and you'll see that woven in and out of recipes in my book. I mean, I just like bright, clean flavors. I want the. We're paying a lot of money for fish, and as a matter of fact, I think you probably should because of the overfishing, et cetera. But I mean, if you're going to be paying $26 a pound for halibut, for instance, which I just paid in New York City, you want to make sure when you get that home that fish comes out nice.
Yeah.
And that's what this book is for. That's what fish can do for you. It kind of steers you through and guides you. I mean, in the very beginning of the book, what I tried to do is I took the first 50 pages of the book are just kind of a discussion to give you a comfort level. Well, okay, let's talk about, for instance, Arctic char. You know, okay, well, I call Arctic char salmon light. You know, and there's a note on every fish that I refer to in the book, so you can. I've never heard of that. Well, you go to the beginning of the book and you can look it up: anchovies, Arctic char, you know, barramundi. Never heard of barramundi? Well, it's a great fish, and it's being farm raised in a very sustainable manner. But what is it? Okay, we'll tell you about the flavor. It's, you know, it's closest flavor to a wild sea bass. Texture of the fish is delicate. It'll tell you about buying tips, how to cook it, and that's. You know, with these notes, you can go into any store and feel a lot more comfortable about purchasing fish.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is Rick Moonen. He is the co-author, along with Roy Finnemore, of a new book. It's Fish Without a Doubt, and it's published by Houghton Mifflin. It's a cookbook dedicated to seafood, and it's the kind of book that I think could really be helpful for people if you want to have more experience with seafood. You want to do that, but you say, you know, I just haven't cooked fish that much, and I'm just really not quite sure how. It has a lot of good information about basic technique and addresses these kinds of questions, as Rick was saying. You know, how do I know the fish is fresh? How do I know it's cooked? How do I make sure that I don't overcook it? What kind of flavors go well with it? And how can I do this in a way that's sustainable? All those kind of concerns are addressed, and it's a really terrific book. So if you're interested in fish, you want to head out and look for that book. We're going to talk some more here with Rick Moonen in just a moment. First, that we want to talk with Maeve Riley. She stepped into the studio. She is the editor of our program guide, Patterns Magazine. It comes out every month, and it lists programs on WILL AM, FM, TV, and we're here. This is just a one-day shot that we're talking to people about why it's so important to support WILO.
That's right. And, you know, we're non-commercial, non-profit, public radio station, and we rely on your contribution for the largest share of our operating budget. And that's the money we use to bring you all the news and information you expect here on AM 580. Pays for David's program, keep it on the air, and get great guests like our expert here on fish cooking, which is really exciting. So you can make a difference. We need you to go to the phone and give us a call at 866-779-9455. If you're listening in the office, you can do it online at willpledge.org. You know, we have a $60 level contribution that would be a good level to give at, and also provide you with the really cool Summer Celebration Eco Tote Bag and Survival Kit. And this is a really nice, durable bag. There's one here in the studio. It's got the logo on it. It's a green color, so it's green Eco Tote. And it's got this little nice plastic container that has sunscreen and aloe gel and some bug bite ointment in it. And you can reuse that again if you go to the pool or if you're putting fish in your bag and you don't want to get it all wet and whatever you got in there wet and slimy, you can stick that in the in the little carrier case. So it's a really nice gift, and it's our way of saying thank you for your support.
Yeah, it's really it's made of recycled materials. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of thing that you could take with you to the farmer's market,
right,
and put your produce in there. You could take it with you to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of similar to some of the kind of bags that are actually now being sold in grocery stores as an alternative to plastic bags or paper bags. The idea that, you know, this is use this instead of the stuff that either comes out of the ground or involves cutting down trees.
Right.
So we're trying to promote your awareness of public radio. You carry that bag with you. It says WILL in big letters on there, so you can show that you're a promoter of the station.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel like you're doing your bit for the planet at the same time. Now, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
You put all that
together.
That's very good.
Yeah, that's very nice. So give us a call, 866-779-9455, and show us your support. It's just one way for us to say thank you for your support of public broadcasting and the fine programming that we bring you here on AM 580.
Yeah, really don't forget that more than 38% of the money needed to bring the programs to you, like this one and everything else you hear on the station, 38% of the budget comes from these voluntary contributions by listeners, folks like you, the folks who are listening right now. All we're asking is just folks do their bit, pay just a little bit of the cost of producing the programs. And if everybody did that, well, our budget would be just fine. But we are now raising the money for next fiscal year. And the end of the fiscal year actually is pretty close now.
Mm-hmm.
We're about 3 weeks away.
Yeah.
So that's why it's more important than ever at this point in the year that we get as much money in the bank as we can, because that's the money for next year's shows. So one more time, let's give them the phone number and tell them how to call and how to pledge.
Okay, and the number is 866-779-9455. You can also go to willpledge.org and give online, and it'll just take a few minutes of your time. You can do it with a credit card, another eco-friendly way to do it. Saves on paper and mailing costs, so give us a call. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. And we'll get back here to our conversation with Rick Moonen. He is the co-author, along with Roy Finnemore, of a brand new book. The title of the book is Fish Without a Doubt. It's published by Houghton Mifflin. He is the chef owner of RM Seafood in Las Vegas. And questions are certainly welcome if you'd want to contribute a recipe. Otherwise, we'll continue to talk and see if we can make you feel better about the whole idea of cooking seafood. Let me ask you, Rick, because I think one of the big questions that people have, and one of the things that you write about here in the book, is when you're cooking seafood, how do you know that it's done?
All right. There's so many ways. I mean, most people have fried an egg. I mean, fish is just protein, right? Now, most people have cracked an egg, put it in a sauté pan, and watch what happens. The egg white turns from translucent to opaque, beautiful white egg white. That's what happens with fish as well. Look for color. You know, it's going to change color as it cooks. So when it goes into the pan, you'll notice the part that's touching the pan, it's going to start turning that whitish color, depending on the color of the fish. I mean, some salmon will turn a different color pink rather than the red when it goes into the pan. That's showing you that the proteins are cooking through. Feel it. Touch it. Peek into it. Don't be afraid to touch it. Play with your food a little bit till you've gotten a level of confidence to realize that, to cook it to the doneness that you like. Most of the recipes in Fish Without a Doubt are bringing fish to medium in the center. But if it's a large piece of fish, you know, you want to take it out just before the center is cooked, because there's a momentum. You know, it's called carryover cooking time, and I call it just cooking momentum. You know, there's still heat on the outside of the fish that's going to continue to cook the fish after it comes out of the pan, out of the oven, out of the poaching liquid, whatever method that you're cooking. And really, if you're cooking for four people, say for instance, poke in, crack into the because fish will flake, look inside, in the center of it, if you see that it's still got a little bit of that pink color, if it's a tuna or salmon, that's good, take it out. And you're going to learn by experiment, but if you're going to err on the side of undercooking just a touch, and you'll find the results are just amazingly rewarding.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big changes maybe that has happened in the way that people approach fish is that it has become desirable. People are being educated to the fact that it's okay if it's a little bit rare. And I think some people might get a little freaked out if they'd get into their fish and they'd look at it and they'd say, well, this is not cooked.
Yeah, I think most white fleshed fishes, listen to me. Most white fleshed fish, I like to see it cooked till medium, but still moist, glistening. You know, some fish will flake before others. I mean, rule of thumb when I was growing up, if the fish is flaking, it's overcooked. You know, if it's falling apart, then it's overcooked. There's some truth to that. But some fish are going to flake before others. So that's not exactly the best rule of thumb. And actually, the funny thing about this book is Ruth Reichel, who's the author, she's the editor-in-chief of Gourmet Magazine. She just came out with a book club. Uh-huh. And she took fish without a doubt as the first pick for her book club because she felt that these recipes really work at home. You know, one of the things was just the fact that it's so simple, and I'm trying to encourage people to just have the comfort to play with the food. Give yourself sets of references as you're cooking, prod, poke. But if you go onto gourmet.com and you click on the image of fish without a doubt, there's three cooking videos that I did for them. And the one cooking video that I did on how to tell when a fish is cooked is very explicit. Within like 3 or 4 minutes, you're going to become a much better expert at telling when your fish is done. Because I show what I call a rule of thumb, and I can't do it on radio, and that's why I'm referring to this. You know, if you take your thumb and you touch different parts of your finger and you feel the muscle in your thumb, it tightens up as you go along. And fish proteins will tighten up as they get more towards medium. And you will learn, the only way you can learn that is by playing yourself. Nice. So get in the kitchen, go buy a great piece of fish, come home, and have fun. Feed your family good food. You shouldn't be afraid, you know, and that's what I really hope to accomplish. I want Fish Without a Doubt to be one of those books that's in your kitchen and it's dirty because you've been using it so much because it's such an essential tool for you.
It's summer now, and so I'm sure a lot of folks will be grilling if they haven't already been grilling. That is cooking on either charcoal grill, which is my preference, or perhaps that they're using gas, so they're cooking outside. And certainly, grilling is a great way to cook fish, and something that I really enjoy. Maybe in the past I've been a little limited. What I've done are the steak like fishes, right. The things like particularly salmon and tuna. Give me a good outdoor grill recipe.
Well, pick a fish. Go to the store. Pick your favorite fish. I'm not going to give you a specific recipe. I'm going to give you a generic one.
Okay.
All right. And there's a couple of different ways. If you're going to get a steak, a thicker piece of fish, and you're going to put it directly on the grill grates, ooh, what's your biggest worry here?
That you're going to burn.
First of all, besides spending $50 for two small fillets because it's expensive, it's going to stick.
Oh, yeah.
Right, what am I going to do? What if it sticks? What if it starts falling apart? Well, put together, mayonnaise is well known on the East Coast. If you slather mayonnaise on fish, because mayonnaise is predominantly what? Oil. But make a flavored mayonnaise. That's what I put in Fish Without a Doubt. Season that. Make a nice, like a remoulade type sauce. Slather that on your fish. Roll that onto your hot grill. It'll come right off as if it was a Teflon grill. Or take a whole fish or some fillets. Marinate them in a real simple marinade. Put them in one of those grill baskets. And put that just over, because you're still going to get this if you're using charcoal or char wood, which is what I prefer. It's going to get that real smoky, woody flavor. You feel like you've been to you're out camping. Put that over. Put the grill basket over that. You're still going to get the smokiness. You're not going to have to worry about any of the putting your hand over a hot grill because it's got the handle. And it's really a great handy tool. I highly recommend that if you're going to be cooking fish on a grill, and I hope everybody does. You get yourself one of those pretty inexpensive grill baskets that kind of hinge open. You put you put a little bit of oil on the grill basket. You put your fish that's been marinating in there. You get your char wood just at the right temperature where it's nice and hot. Put your fish over it and just have fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a question coming here from somebody off the air, and I think it's a good question. It goes back to the question about buying fish. I think that there may be some people who live in a place where they're lucky enough so that they have a store or maybe have stores that specialize in fish. That's what they do. But not everybody can. So if, say, you have to go into your local grocery store, and they do have a seafood section. Maybe they have some frozen product. They also say they have a case where they have ice in there, and fish is sitting on the ice. And the illusion is that it's fresh, and I actually have a feeling probably a lot of that is previously frozen, and they've thawed it out and put it right in the case. In any case, so you're going to a place that's not a specialty fish store. You got to go to your local grocery store.
Right.
How do you make your best choice there in what you're going to buy?
Well, me, personally, this is how I shop for jewelry. I just look down there and see what's attractive to me. What's attractive to my eye? I mean, you know what you're looking for when you're looking for a steak. You know, you're comfortable with that. You know, that one's brown. I don't like the look of that. That one's kind of weird on the edges. I don't like that. The same thing's with fish. I mean, you may not be in love with a seafood item. I mean, before you're talking about a tote bag, you put your slimy fish in there. Be honest with you, slime is a good sign on the outside of a fresh fish. But in this instance, see what's attractive to you. Ask the person behind there, what is that? Like, you know, and if chances are, you can purchase that fish, bring it home, and find a preparation and fish without a doubt. Now, basically, it's what looks best to you. Just be wary a little bit of tuna that's wrapped in plastic. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these, they're treated with certain things, you know, and I'm not trying to bring more concern down, but I address these issues in fish without a doubt. But some of these are treated with carbon monoxide. They call it flavorless smoke, and that keeps the super red color on pre-cut tuna. What I like to see happen is that fish is cut when you order it. Just like you can go to a delicatessen and ask for give me a quarter pound of capicola, or give me a quarter pound of Virginia ham. They take a big piece of ham, they put it on a slicer, and they slice it to order. That's a piece of ham. Now, you're paying 50 times more for a really good piece of fish. They should treat it the same way and ask them to do it that way. The more that people, that customers, that go into these supermarkets and request certain things, the more they're going to make changes. And that's what we all need to do. We need to vote with our wallets, choose sustainable seafood products, and to just verbalize what we're looking for. Ask. Now, I think the reason that hasn't happened in the past is they're too intimidated. Mm-hmm. But not after you reach fish without a doubt.
Just to go back to one thing we were talking about, cooking on the grill, I also have to say that last summer, for the first time, I started using this what is called natural lump charcoal.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the briquettes that mm-hmm. we grew up with.
Love it.
It's chunks of wood that are made into charcoal, and I really like this. I like it, the result, much better. I had to kind of learn to cook a little differently because it's hot. It's much hotter. It cooks much hotter than the briquettes, but I like it very much, and so I'm now a convert to that.
Well, we like that heat when we're cooking fish because fish is thinner, it cooks faster. So we want that kind of heat, that kind of intensity, and it puts off that smokiness. I mean, when I was growing up in Flushing, Queens, my dad would be out in the backyard pouring gasoline on briquettes that were already pushed together with petroleum products. I mean, basically, we might as well have been, you know, toasting marshmallows out of the tailpipe of the car. You know, but that's what I grew up, you know, eating. But, you know, as I grew older and I discovered what you just described, holy smokes, is that the way to go? It's perfect.
Yeah.
Thumbs up to you.
You get one of those metal lighting chimneys. That's mm-hmm. the way you got to do it. So you don't have to buy that chemical. You don't pour it on there.
Nope.
It makes a little bit of smoke when you first get the thing going. So you tell your neighbors,
close
your windows. And that's that makes me a little nervous sometimes. It does throw off a lot of sparks.
Just keep it away. Just make sure you stand back and let it spark. And then when you pour those coals out of the chimney, and it only takes, 15 minutes for that chimney to light up.
Yeah.
I love those things. Those things are, whoever invented that, to you.
It's a great thing. So, people, if all you know about cooking is with those briquettes that was invented by now I can't even think of the name anymore of the guy. The name of the briquettes was actually named after the guy who came up with the idea. Anyway, If that's all you know, try the hardwood charcoal. Well, now let me ask you something else here, because I think, and when I think about the various ways that I've cooked fish, certainly I've cooked them on the grill outside, and that's great. Have broiled them, have poached them, have baked, essentially. Now, there's one technique, though, that I feel like I need to know how to do this, but I really haven't hardly tried, and that is the pan sauté. And I'm not talking here about deep frying in a lot of oil. I'm right. talking about, you know, a pan on top of the stove using the minimum amount of oil. Now, what exactly is the secret?
Well, it's choosing the right pan is good. If you're a very, very beginner and you're worried about sticking, use a coated pan, which I steer away from personally. I like to have a black steel pan, which is a thick pan, but it takes some seasoning, some care, you know, just wiping it out and just, you know, making sure that it's, you know, that it doesn't rust or, you know, oxidize on you. Anyway, as far as preparing yourself for a saute, simple. I usually brush the fish with some butter. One side, I season it with salt and pepper. This is just a very simple technique. Brush it with butter after seasoning it with salt and pepper. Preheat your pan so that when you put your fish butter side down into the pan, it just sizzles, and you roll it in, and it depends on what type of fish you have. Some fish are going to, because they're very fresh, kind of like hump up a little bit, like kind of curl up. You just lightly press it with your spatula just to flatten it. And after 20 to 30 seconds of medium high heat, it's going to start to set. It's going to start to caramelize the part that's touching the pan, and it'll stop the curling, and it'll just nicely start to get some color to it. And as you watch from the bottom up, it's going to start cooking. When it's halfway up, flip it over very carefully, but you slide your spatula under and flip it over. It's really that simple, and it's done in just a matter of minutes. I mean, most fish are sautéed over medium to medium-high heat in less than 10 minutes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a second here to once again ask people to call in and make a contribution here for our station, this program, everything else you hear on WILL, and then we'll continue to talk with our guest, Rick Moonen. Here in the studio with me is Maeve Riley. She's the editor of Patterns. It's our program guide. Comes out every month, and it has information on programming on WILL radio and TV. And this is one of the benefits of being a contributor to WILL, because if you make a contribution at the basic level, now, how much do people have to give?
$40.
$40, mm-hmm. at least, if you make a contribution of at least $40, one of the things that you'll get is in your mailbox every month, we'll send you a copy of Patterns.
That's right. And I'd like to encourage people actually to go up to maybe $52. That's just $1 a week. And that will, not only will you get Patterns every month, but we'll also send you a copy of the NPR map. So when you're traveling this summer, hopefully you'll be able to travel a little bit this summer. And that shows you where all the NPR stations are throughout the country. So, you know, it's summertime now. David's been talking about grilling fish here. It's been making me really hungry. But this is, you know, summer is good for travel. It's good for cooking out in the grill. But, you know, news and information don't stop in the summer. We want to make sure you stay connected. So if you have the NPR map, you're connected to NPR stations throughout the country. We keep you connected here on a daily basis to the news and information, and give you lots of good tips on grilling fish, too. So go to your phone. Give us a call. 866-779-9455. Give us a pledge at the $52 levels. Get the NPR station map to take along on your travels. And we want to make sure you're connected to public radio.
Yeah. We're just doing this one day here. Mm-hmm. We've set aside this day. And the reason that we're doing it is that we're coming near the end of our fiscal year. And it's really only about 3 weeks away. It's the end of June. And the money that we're going to spend on next year's programming, it needs to be in the bank at that point. Now, we're raising the money for next year. And we've set a goal. We want to get just as close as we possibly can. And we're a little bit short right now at this point. So we want to get as much money in there as we possibly can. We're asking people to support us on WILL-TV, our companion station. And that's great if people give to television. But that money, none of that money is going to go to radio. If you also want to support radio, you need to do that too. And a lot of people have year after year. And to those folks, we want to say thanks. You know, we wouldn't be here without you. And for whatever reason, if you've been a listener in the past but not a supporter, why don't you take the opportunity now to make that contribution? Could be just at that, as Maeve said, could be at that very basic level, say, you know, $70, mm-hmm. or maybe you can do $120. If you break that down on a day-by-day basis, that's not a whole lot of money. And we know there are people who say that, yeah, I listen probably every day. Maybe I listen to Morning Edition, get a chance to listen to Focus. I listen to Afternoon Magazine. I listen to All Things Considered. Listen on the weekend. It could be a big part of your life. Well, if that's the case, then part of your life needs to be supporting the station too, because that's what keeps the station strong and makes it possible for us to keep on doing what we're doing. So if you haven't yet done it, we have volunteers who are ready to go, and this will literally take probably about 2 minutes for you to make the call, and now would be a great time to do it. So, again, what's that number? It's 866.
Uh-huh. It's a new number. It's a confusing number.
We're all a little confused,
yeah.
Because it is a new number.
It's a new number. So it's 866-779-9455. You can also go to willpledge.org.
All right. And we will continue to talk with Rick Moon, and he is the co-author, along with Roy Finnemore, of a brand new cookbook for cooking fish. The title is Fish Without a Doubt, and it is published by Houghton Mifflin. And it's got a lot of great recipes in there and good information about technique as well. As we've been talking here, it could be that some folks are just, they're uneasy about the idea of cooking fish. You know, they've got experience. They know what to do with a steak, and they know what to do with chicken. But when it comes to fish, they say, you know, I'm not really sure what to do. Well, this will help you. So you want to take a look at the book. I'm sure you can find it out in the bookstore. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. That's the number if you would like to call in here on the show. And we have somebody to talk with. Let's do that. A caller in Paxton and on our line number 4. Hello.
Yeah, hi, David. Another great show. By the way, my wife and I both get Patterns Magazine, and it is just a great book to have every month. It's a great companion, so we really appreciate it. Just a couple of quick questions and observation. I'll go ahead and ring off. Was wondering, a couple of things. This might be a little bit off the mark, but I was saddened to hear a few years ago that they closed the New York Fulton Fish Market. And I was wondering if your guest knew if this was relocated or if there's another fish market. I just always thought it would be, you know, it was great to take the kids, kind of a great touristy type of thing. My mom was a great fish person. She just loved all kinds of fish. And I was wondering about the pickled herring. I never acquired a taste for it, but I was wondering if your guest had any comments on that. And also, I like oysters, raw oysters, quite a bit, but now I'm wondering if, for environmental reasons and health issues, if he would still recommend that or not. And I'll go ahead and ring off.
All right. Well, thank you.
So there's a lot of layers to that question, but I'd like to address them all. First of all,
sure.
The Fulton Fish Market has moved to Hunts Point, which is a very difficult-to-get-to spot in the Bronx. But it's all enclosed. It's temperature controlled. It's very sanitary. It's very lovely. I was there Sunday night, Monday morning this week, first time. Because now I live in Las Vegas, so I'm visiting New York, which is weird to me because I lived in New York for 30 years. It was fun to go to see the old crew. They love it. They love the fact that it's temperature controlled because in the summer months, I don't know if you ever went to the Fulton Market in the summertime. But to see like sacks of like clams and mussels and oysters, et cetera, sitting out at the ambient temperature of even though it was the middle of the night, it's still 85, 90 degrees in the summer sitting out. That not so great, not so safe, not so, a little uneasy. Whereas the new location's much, much more sanitary, much more safe, I would say. So it's some of the character's gone. I kind of equate it to when I took my dog to get fixed. I think the Fulton Fish Market and its relocation has been fixed. as far as oysters, please, oysters are one of the best things you could possibly eat for yourself, for the environment. They clean the environment. So the more we eat oysters, the more we're supporting the regeneration of a healthy ocean. So please eat 50 to 60 oysters. That's one oyster a day. Oh, I'm kidding. But if you can consume oysters, just be aware that, you know, as far as a health issue, you mentioned that, try to get them from a reputable source.
Okay. And any thoughts about pickled herring?
Oh, pickled herring. Well, it's funny you should mention that. Pickled, the new herring of this year, the Matjes herring, which comes from Holland. You know, I'm Dutch, so please, thank you for bringing up herring. I just had some yesterday at the Grand Central Oyster Bar in New York City. They have a celebration of the herring. I think pickled herring is probably one of the best things. It's so buttery and delicious and simply prepared. There are a few marination recipes in fish, without a doubt. I tried to keep the recipes simple. And marinating is not difficult, but to me, that's not the rudimentary cooking 101 method for most people. You obviously were brought up in an environment where you were exposed to seafood. It sounded like your mom was a great seafood cook, which is awesome. I eat seafood every Friday. I grew up in a family where it was part of our religion. My mom was like very religious. She was like, we're eating seafood on Fridays. And my mom wasn't a great cook, but we ate real easy broiled preparations. And I'm like, you know what? If we could eat fish growing up like that, so can everyone else. And that's really what I tried to sink into this book. And so there's a mackerel recipe in here, an escabeche of mackerel, where it's different than something that's just pickled. It's actually cooked and then marinated, which gives it an extended shelf life. Very good recipe and very good for you because mackerel is just super high in omega-3 fatty acids. When you can get it fresh and bring it home and sauté it, it gives it a extended shelf life. So if you don't eat it that night, it's still good 2-3 days down the road. And it's absolutely stunning.
Okay.
Tastes like the ocean.
Well, I thank the caller. We're coming down here. We have a couple minutes left. You know, I mentioned that we had had this conversation last week. I think actually maybe it was just a week ago with the fellow who wrote the book, A Bottom Feeder. And one of the fish that he... The seafood, I'm not sure if it actually is a fish. One of the things that he said, well, this is a good thing, is squid.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never prepared it, and would be that would be one of the things that I'd be maybe a little uneasy about dealing with. Can you talk a little bit about squid and if you have the opportunity to get it, how you'd treat it?
Certainly. If you get fresh squid, get it. just get it. If you don't, you're going to regret it. It's not that difficult to prepare. I have illustrations on how to clean squid. It's basically just pulling it apart, it's two sections, and inside the head, the tube as it is, there's a little quill that just very easily pulls out. It looks like a piece of plastic or cellophane. It just pulls right out. You rinse them off, you dry them. I have a real simple technique of grilling, and you can grill indoors too. If you have one of those cast iron griddles, put it on your stove and get it hot. It's going to smoke your kitchen a little bit, but one thing, squid is not going to smell your kitchen up.
Mm-hmm.
And you just lightly, you cut the tip of the tube off so that it doesn't steam inside, and you just grill it. And I make like a garlic butter with parsley or a real easy dipping sauce that's made with Thai fish sauce. And calamari, that's all it is. It's just fresh calamari. And the texture of it, it's got a little crunch to it, but it's just sweet. And it's straight from the ocean. It is good for you, and I love it.
Okay. We're just about the part we have to finish up here, and obviously we could go on and on. We could talk for a long time to come. And so what I would suggest to people is you go to the bookstore and you look at this book, Fish Without a Doubt. Also, you can go to the Gourmet Magazine website, and I got it up here in the computer that's in front of me. And if you click on the section where they have their book club, there are some videos here that Rick mentioned and that you can take a look at, including tips for cooking fish. There are two ceviches he makes and also the best way to grill whole fish. So that's there. You can see him and you can get some pointers on technique. Any last sort of idea here or thoughts you'd like to leave with folks?
You know, just I just hope everyone gets the idea over the last hour we've been speaking is that fish is not to be intimidating. It's something that needs to be embraced and enjoyed. The consumption of fish has just gone straight up over my lifetime. And we need to be just very cautious about what we consume. Well, not so much what we consume, but what we purchase. Because every time you take a dollar out of your pocket, you're either approving or disapproving. Let's approve for the right reasons. Have diversity. Don't just eat the same thing all the time. And allow the environment a chance to recover so that we have fish for future generations to enjoy.
All right. And if you want to get good information here, some good information on technique, on how to cook fish. You can look for the book. It's titled Fish Without a Doubt. It is published by Houghton Mifflin by our guest Rick Moonen and also Roy Finnemar. Rick Moonen is the chef owner of RM Seafood in Las Vegas. And Rick, thanks very much for giving us some of your time today. We appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, David, and best of luck in your drive.